ICANN 46 Beijing, April 8th, 7:30 a.m., Function Room 9, Joint Fellows Apollo ALS's meeting.
And with that, good morning. This is the beginning of our joint fellowship and Asia-Pacific at large morning sessions. And we'd like to welcome our good friends from the Net Mission Ambassador Group. It's always so wonderful to see your faces. And some of our alumni and other friends around the table. Just as a reminder, the morning meetings do start exactly at 7:30. And so I do need for everyone to take their breakfast and do all their things. And please be here timely for our presenters who are taking their time out of their busy, busy ICANN week work schedule to share their knowledge and information with us. So this morning, I'm going to introduce the business constituency, which is part of the generic name supporting organization, which is within the commercial stakeholder group. There is no one better, actually, to explain the structure within ICANN than the lady that I'm going to pass the microphone over to my right, Marilyn Cade.
Janice, thank you, and good morning to all of you. I'm now going to give you the single most important tip that you will get from anyone at ICANN. My name is Marilyn Cade. Why is this important? Because you are going to have an opportunity throughout the entirety of this meeting to raise your voice, to make statements at the microphone, to make comments. You must always remember that even if some people know who you are, not everyone knows who you are, you're being transcribed and recorded. And the people remotely that are participating or that later read your words will benefit from your always opening your statement with what your name is, not my name is Marilyn Cade. I'm so pleased to have, for some meetings now, been offered the opportunity to be the opening speaker. It is my pleasure to be joined by, I'm an officer of the business constituency, it's my pleasure to be joined by another one of our officers, Chris Chaplow, and by the chair, Elisa Cooper, has just joined us, and by Elisa Slazik, who will, by Gabby Slazik, who will also be one of our speakers. We're going to do this very quickly. So let me say a few words about why the fellowship program is so important to ICANN and about how the BC fits into ICANN. When ICANN, you should be aware that in September of this year, ICANN will be 15 years old. Think how young that is for an international organization that has such vast responsibility. Our early meetings had 200 or 300 people in them. We started ICANN with a $1.3 million line of credit and the personal credit card of the first CEO and president. How phenomenal it is that the internet community, very broadly, joined by governments in an advisory capacity, joined by the technical community, joined by interested businesses and civil society and academics, created this organization that has such importance. The internet had only 40 million users on it when I became involved in internet policy. It is now 2.4 to 2.6 billion users. The face of the internet looks so different than it did, of course, when we founded ICANN. The business constituency sits in what is a fairly, if you're a newcomer to ICANN, you may feel that it's a fairly complicated organization. But I just want to note that inside the BC newsletter is a decode chart that was the brainchild of the vice chair for policy for finance and operations, Chris Chaplow. When we did our first newsletter, we went to the ICANN staff and asked them to do this chart for us. And this is not a criticism of the ICANN staff. We found that actually they could not fill in the names. That's actually good news because innovation And participation happens at the edge of the internet. And filling in the names, the widely distributed set of participants and leaders, it is really a good message that there is so much diversity and so much continued input into how ICANN's leadership structure happens at the throughout the bottom-up process. But we found, and Chris has institutionalized this, and it's now used by the board and by the staff, and we hope by you, it's on the BC website. We keep it continually updated, and we found that it is a very, very useful tool. The business constituency represents the voice of business users, not the contracted parties, but business users. Individual users are represented by other parts of ICANN's organizational structure, such as the RALOs, in the ALAC, and perhaps in the NCUC. We focus on really not just GTLD policy, but a very key issue that is absolutely fundamentally of concern to business users regardless of their size, and that is security, stability, and resiliency. If the infrastructure and the internet does not work, the World Wide Web will not work, access to content and information will not work, and we will not see the internet providing the vitally important role that it can play in supporting social and economic growth and development, and in bringing opportunity to citizens around the world, regardless of the region of the world they're in or regardless of the size of their country. So we are very actively engaged in GTLD policy. So things like the new generic top-level domains initiative is highly important to us. And you'll see actually a front-page article by our chair, Lisa Cooper, and another article about the Trademark Clearinghouse inside that tells you a little bit about the concerns that the BC has about the policy aspects. There's a short article there by me on the road to Beijing, which is sort of a tradition that we do to try to tell our members and others what the priority issues are. But the last article that I'd like to point out to you is on the page that has the schematic. The CSO at ICANN, the Chief Security Office at ICANN, is devising a framework for security. It is out for public comment and interaction, and this schematic is a part of the program that is being used to interact with members of the community, both the highly technical, the policy, and just users, business users, about why security is important and how ICANN fits into the discussions about the role and issues related to cybersecurity. Now, let me just say that one thing about ICANN, which you guys probably already know, is that we are filled with acronyms. You need a code book or a translator on your smartphone in order to be able to complete a conversation. That's just for the acronyms, let alone for the language translation. But Chris, again, has done something to help to solve that, and I'll let him talk about that. We are very actively involved, as I said, in GTLD policy, but we're also very actively involved in the governance issues at ICANN because we're business users. Businesses take seriously how the institutions and organizations that they count on function and that they are able to perform their issues. And so we actually created a whole new position in the BC leadership that Chris has, and I'll let him talk about the role of the vice chair of policy and operations and a little bit about our activities in other areas. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Marilyn. My name's Chris Chaplow, and I'm vice chair of finance and operations for the business constituency. So there's two vice chairs outlined in the charter of the business constituency, one for policy and coordination and the other finance and operations. So finance and operations is, if you like, the engine room, the running of the constituency, helping organising things like outreach events and the material to support the constituency, including the newsletter, which we're very proud of. There'll be a Chinese version as well on the website within a couple of days, if that's of interest to you or your friends. And Marilyn did allude just to the acronym HELPER, which we developed, and you can go to the address on it. Actually, it's on the back of the newsletter. It says acronym HELPER, and there's an address on our website. And we've now got up to about 480 acronyms in use at ICANN. It's growing at a few a week. I keep coming across them, reading a report, reading a document, and there's another one, what's that? And just test it. No, it's not it. So it's very simple. There's just a little field you fill in on the website. Start to type the letters of the acronym, and then it comes up, yeah. It actually came out of an idea in our office. And there was a chap in our office. My own business is a website in southern Spain. And there's a chap in, you know, I'm probably too old for this, but the text messages that you send to each other with. And there was one in Spanish, and a friend of mine, it was TKQ, and it was in Spanish. And it was very close to, I love you or go away. And he needed to look it up, and that was the idea. And it was a programmer, a young chap in the office, who developed this way, where you could actually put in the text messages and it would decode it for you. So we used the idea for the ICANN's acronym. In fact, we haven't got one at ICANN close to any of those. And, of course, if you come across acronyms and you test it and it doesn't work, then there's an email address, so please send it to us and we'll add it. So good. I think that's just all I'm just going to say for the moment. So I want to pass you over to Gabrielle.
Actually, I'm going to make him say two more things. Chris leads the focus of the BC on our participation in review of the strategic plan and also of the budget. And if you don't mind just saying a word about your role as the coordinator of the CSG finance.
Yes, there's... Two budget responsibilities that I work with. One is business constituency's own internal budget. So the business constituency has members who pay annual fees, and then with that money, then we pay for secretariat and various things. The other is the ICANN budget, which is the global budget for the organisation, which is published each year. So there's a budget cycle with a strategic plan and a draft framework budget, and this is published, and members of the community get together to look at the budget, to comment on the budget, and if you like, different groups say, well, we think we should be spending more money on this area and less money on other areas. And it's something that it does take a number of times. If you go to the ICANN homepage and then click on finance, and you can see all that financial information if that is interesting to you. And it does take a long time to get used to, because, you know, if you know that $5 million gets spent on a certain thing, then you don't really know whether that's a lot or a little. It depends on where you're coming from. And it's actually over the years, when you see the amounts change, that you know whether this is worthwhile or not. So that's an area that we in the business constituency, very keen on.
And the reason I want to do the introduction of Gabby is that through Chris's work and mine on the budget, and with the full support of the BC membership, the BC actually led a change in the ICANN budget, and a fairly significant change in the ICANN budget. There was previously no financial support to the funding of officer travel in the constituencies or to project support to the constituencies. And we worked with very directly with Xavier, the CFO, with Janice, with Mandy, and with support of some of the board members to create a new funding initiative. We worked with other constituencies like the ISPs and the IPC that are here, which actually changed the ICANN budget. So I thought it was worth noting for all of you that the bottom-up process really can work. Let me introduce Gabby, who is one of our members. I'll let her tell you about why her role in the BC is so significant.
So good morning, everyone. We met yesterday at the auditorium. So just to remind you that I'm from Argentina. I started as a fellow in Cartagena in 2010. And at the beginning, I didn't know much about ICANN, just like maybe some of you. And it was very, very overwhelming, the first meeting for me. And so I took a little time until I applied again as a fellow. But just from the first time I was at ICANN, I was at this meeting with Marilyn and Chris, and I didn't know I was going to be applying to be a member of the business constituency. As I'm a lawyer, I thought maybe I will go to the IPC, the intellectual property constituency, or maybe I will go to ALAC, to LACRALO, with the other Latin Americans, friends that I knew and colleagues that I knew. But then they were very welcoming, and I understood because I work at the e-commerce-focused regional organization in my country, so I understood there was a huge need for companies in my country to learn more about what was going on at ICANN. So I understood that this was very important for my region to bring awareness to businesses because particularly small businesses are the engine of our societies, of our specifically in the developing world. So we need our companies to grow and to have more opportunities and to learn more about what's going on in ICANN and how this affects all the work that they have. So today, my institution that is called E-Instituto, it's the only Latin American member at the business constituency. Maybe this will change in a short term, hopefully. So I'm very glad to be one of the local leaders. I'm part of these local leaders projects today, and so you can read about it in page 3. There's one article that I wrote about what we are doing now at my organization to build awareness for companies, particularly e-commerce companies and e-business companies in Latin America, not only Argentina, but Latin America. And so there's another project from an African member, which is called Jimson Ololufe, who is also doing awareness in his region, so you can read about it in the same page. And so, as I said at the fellowship morning yesterday, I welcome everyone to Buenos Aires this year, at the end of the year. This will be a great meeting. I hope to see you all there. And please, if you have any questions about the business constituency, feel free to ask me. Tomorrow we have the possibility for you to join to some part of our meetings, which are open meeting. Like there's a part that is open, so you can join and you can learn more. So please welcome. Please feel free to ask me any questions, even if there are questions that you feel that they are stupid or not very interesting. They are all interesting questions, and we all started without knowing about this. So thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy this week. Thank you.
Thank you. And let me introduce Elisa Cooper, who is the BC chair, for a few words, and then we will take a couple of questions.
Thanks, Marilyn. So my name is Elisa Cooper, and I'm the chair of the business constituency. And while I've been in the domain name industry for about 11 years, I only really became involved with ICANN about 5 years ago. And I can tell you, even with 5 years of experience, ICANN can be a very complex and challenging place to be. With all of the acronyms and the insider knowledge, it can be very challenging and a very difficult route to navigate. And that is why companies, for instance, choose to join the business constituency to help them navigate, to help them understand, and also to have their voices heard. And so, as Gabby mentioned, we do have meetings on Tuesday, which are open, and we would love to have you come and attend those open meetings so you can understand a little bit more about how we operate and the kinds of things that we talk about and the kinds of issues that we focus on. So I hope you will join us, and again, welcome to ICANN.
And I just want to say what's great about this intimate setting and the opportunity to speak with four members of the business constituency who came into ICANN through very different paths, you will be able to see the diversity that can go into any of the constituency groups or stakeholder groups and know that you're welcome in any one, regardless of your background. Number two, yesterday I mentioned that Tuesday is a bit overwhelming because it's a continuation of meetings that have already been occurring throughout the year. So now you have four people whose faces you know who have welcomed you in, and you can sit beside them and have them help you through the information that you're trying to catch up with. So there's no better opportunity to be able to sit into one of these meetings and be coached along and mentored along instead of just thinking, oh, this couldn't be for me, I don't understand what they're talking about. You'll have somebody right beside you. These four faces are going to be very familiar. Okay, so I encourage you again to take a taste of this because I have learned through Gabby so much how educational the business constituency has been for her and another alumni, Celia Lerman, who couldn't be here today. So it's a great place to start your education. Are there any questions for anyone here from the business constituency? Just any questions. Please don't worry about, what it is today.
Hi, I'm Sonny. I'm a fellow. For Gabby, especially, you didn't know that you will be joining this committee. Did you actually apply specifically to this committee or you just applied open? Thank you.
Actually, this is a great question, and I forgot to speak about this, which is important. I had to apply, but it was not only the thing that I had to apply. I had to convince my organization to apply and to pay for the fee, which was quite challenging because they didn't know what was ICANN and why ICANN was important for my organization. So it took me a lot of time, almost a year, to explain them. And it took me time for me to understand the relevance and then to be able to explain this to them. Actually, Celia Lerman, which is another fellow, which she's not today, here, she helped me a lot in bringing this awareness. We together advocated our community and our organization to actually pay the fee and say that and start also publishing our articles about ICANN and about all the things that we wanted to bring awareness on. So this was hard. So if anyone wants some advice on that, you need to bring your organization awareness on why it's important to become a member of the business constituency. I will be very happy to help you on that. And if you want to apply, of course, we can. I think Marlene or Chris will, or Lisa can give you more information about the process. But it's not a complex process. The complex thing is to make your organization want to be a member and understand why this is important. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Leon from Mexico. You all, most of you know me already. I was wondering which would be the best way for me to convince my organization to become a member of the BC, and where can I find some information about the fees? Because you mentioned a fee. Where can I find information about the fees and the best way to become a member of the BC?
Leon, maybe we could ask you a couple of qualifying questions, and then Chris or maybe Elisa maybe could spend a couple of minutes with you. You do need to be a for-profit company or a not-for-profit company that serves for-profit companies. So you could be an association, you could be an NGO, right, or a trade association, and you may be a non-profit, but your members are for-profit. So that is a criteria. You can be a sole practitioner, you can be a consultant. I own a small consulting business. Chris owns a business. Elisa is part of a much larger company. E-Instituto is in some ways an NGO, but it serves the e-commerce sector. So that's one criteria. We can talk to you maybe, Elisa or Chris could talk to you offline about the fees, and there is also a provision in the charter for sort of a special treatment of participants from developing countries. So they could talk to you about that.
Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I believe that's exactly my case. So.
I would just add to that, you asked why would a company want to join the business constituency, and in my opinion, there's really two reasons. One, it's to help you understand and help your company understand ICANN and navigate ICANN, but more importantly, it's to have your voice as a business heard at ICANN. As policy is being developed, the business constituency is really focused kind of on three areas. One, it's to ensure that the internet is a safe place to conduct business, so to promote consumer confidence. It's to ensure that the marketplace is competitive, and it's, again, to ensure the security and stability from a technical perspective. So those are the three core areas that the business constituency focuses on, and we help businesses understand that and basically have their voices heard.
So in the ICANN agenda, there's a couple of other events I'd like to point out to you if they're not already on your radar screen. A new initiative undertaken by Fadi Shahadi and as the CEO and president and his team involves the development of regional strategies for ICANN. And there's a number of sessions throughout this week where the regional strategies are being discussed and where people from your own region will be gathered together with ICANN staff and other members of the community. I'll be in most of those myself. But I just want to point those out, Janice, in case they are not on your radar screen. There's one for Asia-Pacific region, for Latin America, for Africa. And then the other workshop I'd like to mention to all of you is the Internet Governance Workshop. I think that is, you are hearing a lot of comments made about how ICANN fits into the Internet Governance ecosystem, the larger set of challenges that are on the minds of governments and on business and civil society about how the Internet is governed, and of course, what is ICANN's role in Internet governance. ICANN is not responsible for Internet governance. It is one of the parties, one of the entities that works with others to develop a model of multi-stakeholder, bottom-up participation in helping to devise policies that can help to govern the Internet. But that workshop, in case you haven't been able to participate before in that topic, that might be an interesting workshop for you to consider attending. And I think it also will help to kind of position where ICANN is in relation to other international organizations. Now, my final word is to say that Chris and I are serving as co-mentors to in the Net Mission program. So we will look forward to seeing some of you at 10:30 to be part of the mentoring program and the activities for the youth involvement at ICANN.
That's great to hear as well. And I really appreciate the fact that Marilyn just emphasized. Yeah, please. Thank you all very much. Marilyn just emphasized the Internet ecosystem, which was the theme for the newcomer yesterday. You know, 'cause that's really what Fadi Shahadi as a CEO coming in is reinforcing. And I think we had often kind of put ICANN at the center of the universe, and we're actually a part of the whole story. And additionally, Kim Davies, I think, did an excellent job yesterday in the newcomer session talking about this. And so going back to the recording, which will be already, I think, on the website. If not, it will be very quickly. The recording of the newcomer sessions yesterday, you can hear a lot about that theme. With no further ado, Olivier. Good morning. We're here to welcome several leaders of the ICANN community this morning, as we saw on our agenda. And so with the business constituency as part of the generic name supporting organization, having just given us a good starter understanding of their mission within ICANN, now we have Olivier Crepin-Lebon. I'm trying my French accent.
Ah.
I know, it's electric.
I get zapped every time. Every single transcript of me at the moment starts with an ah.
That's lovely. Olivier, I will go ahead and let you further introduce yourself as chair of the at-large.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Olivier Crepin-Lebon. I'm the chair of the at-large advisory committee. And I'll speak to you in a moment about what is the at-large advisory committee and where it fits within ICANN. Actually, I can probably just read the slides. That's great. So here we go. You've got this diagram, which I just saw you looked at a bit earlier, and probably a few dozen people will be showing you the same diagram. I'm not going to go through the whole list of all of the different parts of ICANN that we have here, but if we go to the next slide, then I'm going to get rid of the board, because the board is one part of ICANN that you'll probably have a whole day on about. And there was some notice in the past that everything always pointed towards the board, but really the board is the part of ICANN that is although it's very important, of course, is not the part of ICANN that is supposed to make the decisions. The decisions are made in the SOs, the supporting organizations, and the with the help of the advisory committees, the ACs, as we use them. Have you gone through the whole list of acronyms, or is this the acronym 101 today? No, okay, we'll try and go through a few dozen maybe today, and a dozen at a time. Hopefully in 20 years you'll get the whole list. I still haven't got the whole understanding of it. If you look at the ICANN multi-stakeholder model, and that's a key point, the multi-stakeholder thing, then you see that you've got basically stakeholders coming from all walks of life in ICANN. And I wish I had one of these laser pointers. Unfortunately, the person who supplied me with one yesterday took it back. Oh, he's here. He was hiding. He's my savior. I have to get one of these because I can't borrow it from you. I mean, I can't have you follow me around the world all the time. He might. This is terrible. I'm telling you. Seriously, I get zapped all the time. So I'm really sorry about that. Thank you very much, Izumi. Izumi Aizu actually was on the At-Large Advisory Committee a few years ago and has since regained his sanity and decided not to remain on the At-Large Advisory Committee. But so here we go. So now we've got the different parts of ICANN with the supporting organizations. No, back. I was pointing at something. Here we go. Okay, so the different supporting organizations that you see here, the ASO, the Address Supporting Organization, the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization, and the CCNSO, the Country Code Name Supporting Organization. You just had the presentation from the, where are we, the businesses here, a little subpart of the GNSO. And that's, of course, the GNSO is a multi-stakeholder model. You'll see you've got registries, registrars, you've got the IP interests, so intellectual property and internet service providers, businesses, and others. And then you've got a few other parts of ICANN that are also multi-stakeholder. Here, on the address supporting organization, they deal specifically with IP addresses, so, you know, the numbering part of the internet's identifiers. And they have the regional internet registries, which are also global, and each one is dealing with one particular region, and they have their own processes that have stakeholders from all different parts of the community. The CCNSO is all the country codes, so they're also having their own processes, and they also some of them do also have a multi-stakeholder process. And then at large, that's what I'm going to speak to you about. We are basically speaking on behalf of the internet users. And of course, internet users, that's pretty much each and every one of us that are around this table, and I would say each and every one of us in ICANN, and I would hope that people use the internet here. There are, 2.1 billion internet users? So it's very difficult for us to represent 2.1 billion internet users, maybe 2.2 now, but what we can do is to speak in their interests and to act in their best interest of what we believe are their best interests. And then you've got the other advisory committees, which don't actually have a voting director on the board, but they have liaisons with the board. And so the technical liaison and the internet engineering task force and these two, which deal specifically with the root server system and also the stability of the internet's DNS. And then there's the GAC, the government advisory committee here, and they represent solely the governments. They're the home for all of the governments of the world to be able to bring their input into the process. So let's go now into the at-large part of this whole diagram, and that's the at-large organizational diagram. So at-large is basically divided into five regions, and each one is called a regional at-large organization. It's headed by a regional at-large organization. Why? Because, of course, internet users are distributed worldwide, and it's a lot more easy to manage input from all the whole world by dividing into region, if only because of the time zones and some of the issues, which are sometimes very regional, and also because of the way that we've structured the whole pyramid, if you want. And we'll look at the pyramid in a moment, from the base of the pyramid, where we have our members, all the way to the top of the pyramid, where we have our board member. So the five regions are Africa, and because of their regional at-large organizations that you see here. So Africa would be called AFRALO, and Asia-Pacific is actually Asia, Australasia, and Pacific Islands. So it's called APRALO, and Europe is EURALO, and you can imagine LAC and NA. You've got the idea. Now, each one of these regions is able to select two people to go on the ALAC, the At-Large Advisory Committee. That's the 15-member committee that basically takes the input from all of the regions. So each region takes two people and selects two people, puts them on the At-Large Advisory Committee, and there's one third person that is selected by the nominating committee, the NOMCOM, which some of you might have heard of. Have you heard about the NOMCOM yet? Yes. Yesterday. Ah, perfect. Because sometimes NOMCOM comes in Tuesday, Wednesday, and then it's really hard. But okay, super. You've optimized this. This is good. Thank you, Janice. And so the NOMCOM selects one person from each one of the regions with their own process. And so we end up with three people from each region that are on the committee. And this committee then basically, plus the chairs of each one of the RALOs, selects a board member on our behalf. And that's seat number 15 on the board. That's Sébastien Bachollet at the moment. Some of you might have already met him, and he walks around. I just saw him just outside the room just a moment ago. He'll be here on Thursday. Okay, well, Thursday is a bit late to introduce him. Okay, yeah, okay. So that's the way that we're structured. So let's go into the next. So what do we do? I mean, what is at large, really? So we have 150 at-large structures. Now, these at-large structures can be pretty much anything from a computer club we have some ISOC chapters, Internet Society chapters. We have some senior citizens associations. They're very, very diverse. Some of them have a mandate or have a goal which is related to computing, but perhaps just bringing computing to deprived communities. Some of them have a mandate which could be a bit commercial, like some kind of school to teach people how to use computers. It's very, very diverse. They're active throughout the world. As we said, they're divided among those five regions. And what they do as part of the at-large advisory committee is to follow the mandate which was defined on the board, on the ICANN bylaws. And these include issuing comments in response to ICANN public comment requests. Have you gone through the public comment system? A little bit, okay. So there's constantly this feedback which the different parts of ICANN ask from the community by publishing a request for public comments. And the ALAC, one of the main goals of the ALAC, is to basically fulfill those requests and ask the community around the world and channel by consensus all of the input that it's able to get, draft a comment, and then pass this on over as a statement of the at-large advisory committee over to the public comment process. That's one of the things that it does. The ALAC itself doesn't make policy, but it's a little bit like your nosy neighbor. You know, you're repainting the front of your house, your house porch in a specific color, and your nosy neighbor looks over the fence and goes, no, you've missed a bit on the side here, and oh, you don't want to use this color, you want to use another color. And of course, the advice sometimes is very welcome, sometimes the advice is not that welcome. But the thing, though, because we are all acting in the interest of internet users, there's no business element related to the domain names itself, as far as we're concerned. So if it's something that is in the public interest, we will absolutely defend that. And if we believe that something is against the public interest, we will be very vocal about it. Now, definition of the public interest, big question. But really, we believe that it's in the, because there's no actual real definition. If you look at what is the public interest, you check it on the internet, you'll find a whole number of different definitions of it, but none of which will be actually spot on. However, if it's detrimental, let's look at it the other way. If it's detrimental to internet users, if it's going to make monopolies, or it's going to be making it more difficult or more restrictive for internet users, we generally are saying, well, that's against the public interest. So that's the first thing, is issue the comments to the public comment request. The second thing is that we're actually able to comment on everything and anything that is ICANN related. So not only what's happening in the GNSO, but also what's happening in the CCNSO, what's happening outside the whole thing. If there is a movement, if there's a change in the structure, the board does something and makes a decision that we don't agree with, or even things that we agree with. I mean, we sometimes agree with things. This is, you know, we sometimes support what's going on, which is good. Every time we're able to actually comment on it, and we don't need to wait for a public comment period for that. We can do it at any time. So it's particularly important because we are somehow, I mean, some say we are ICANN's conscience. Some say we are ICANN's pain in the neck. It really depends on whether we agree or don't agree with the person that is bringing forward whatever policy it is that they're doing. We can also issue comments on external processes that are somehow linked to ICANN. So to give you an idea, the renewal, the AOC, the affirmation of commitments, or the contracts with the U.S. Department of Commerce, and we have been able to comment on these and basically bring our input into it and write to the... I think we even wrote to the U.S. Congress at some point on some issues. I've got someone speaking to me in the background. I still cannot lip read. Oh, the G8 as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I totally forget about these big countries. Yes, the G8. We've also commented and sent comments over to the G8 process. When there was a group of people that started talking about things they didn't know about, we thought we would provide them with a little bit of real input and say, right, you know, this is the internet. Yeah, you might have not heard about it, but it runs a bit differently than what you imagine it to be. And especially with the bottom-up system, that's something that is completely misunderstood. We take part into cross-community working groups within ICANN. So sometimes the GNSO, so the generic name supporting organization, starts some working groups during their policy development process. Have you gone through the PDP?
This is day one.
Day one. You've had an hour.
I should have done a lot more this morning from 5 o'clock. But
what did the BC talk to you about? I mean, they talked about the BC. Okay. And what about breakfast? Anyway, So the cross-community working groups are working groups. I'm doing all the work for everyone else, aren't I? It's terrible. The cross-community working groups are working groups that don't only involve one part of the community, so not only the GNSO, but they will actually invite participants from other parts of ICANN. So you might have people that come from the SSAC, from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. You will have people that will come from at large, and that will actually take part in the development of the policy from the ground up, rather than wait for the house to be painted and then say, ooh, you've forgotten that corner, or I don't like the color that you've just painted your whole porch about. This is the thing where you get involved much earlier at policy development. And we do take part increasingly in this, because one of the problems that ICANN had at some point, and I think that it's kind of disappearing, is the silo structure. Don't do that. I can't. The silo structure being that, of course, you've got all of the different parts of ICANN speaking about the same thing, but in different rooms and in different parts of ICANN. And then, of course, the board receives all of the input from everyone, but each part of ICANN tells them a different thing. And unfortunately, it's then up to the board to make a choice, which is bound to make some people unhappy within the community. So the cross-community working groups are very helpful. Now, we also relay the ICANN message to the internet users around the world, and that's because we have this global footprint. We can both relay it to everyone, and then we can also take the input from all of the users around the world and bring it into the process. So it's a two-way process. And one more recent thing is to coordinate the filing of the new GTLD objections. So the new generic top-level domains that have been created, you might be aware, or you might not be aware, since this is the first day, that there's been a window of opportunity to object to them for any string that might be objectable for any reason. And we were provided with the ability to object. It's the first time that the at-large advisory committee was given the chance to indulge in an operational manner, as opposed to just being advisory. So that's an important part of the work that we do. Next one, please.
And we're breathing, and the wonderful translators behind us are breathing. And now we go.
Get a glass of water.
Nice.
Ready for the second part?
They're happy, and we go.
Thank you for the commercial break. So, at large, bottom-up to the ALAC. The way that we operate is bottom-up, and it's not bottoms-up. In the UK, bottoms-up means you have a pint of beer, you finish it in one go, and you ask for another one. And that's not. Oh, someone else did that joke as well?
I think it was you yesterday.
I didn't remember. Did I say that yesterday? I since did a few bottom-up last night. Bottoms up last night, but now we're back to bottom up. So bottom up, you start with the base, the at-large structures. And the at-large structures basically bring the input into their regional at-large organization, and they bring the input over to the ALAC. This all operates by consensus. So you discuss the matter, and you try and find some common ground between the different points of view so as to be able to take it to the next level. We operate exclusively like this. Most of ICANN is supposed to operate like this, it's something that's quite novel for a lot of people, because generally in companies and organizations, it's the other way around. There's one guy at the top who says, this is what we're going to do. And while everyone thinks that this is the wrong thing to do, they will do it, just to make sure they keep their job. We don't have any jobs. We're not paid. We're all volunteers, so we don't care. If somebody doesn't agree, they'll put their hand up and go, no, I don't agree, and that will change the consensus. Next one.
Can you be an individual and join? We have the at-large structures, but can you be an individual?
Now, because the different regions are all separate from each other and have all been created by bottom-up, what's happened is some regions do accept individual membership. So NORALO, for example, the North American Regional At-Large Organization, has a process by which you can apply as an individual without needing to be an at-large structure. The European Regional At-Large Organization, I think from June onwards, is going to vote for individual memberships to be allowed. The other Regional At-Large Organizations have not reached that level yet, but I believe that in their secretariat's meeting, so RALO's secretariat's meeting that will take place this week, they will be discussing this. But there's no way of imposing this, because this is not top-down. So, you know, it's up to the region to decide. So if they are discussing this, I urge you to attend that session and perhaps say, look, I'm an internet user. I'm not with an at-large structure. I'd be interested in joining, but my region doesn't have this ability. What do I do? That will make them feel a bit guilty. I didn't tell you that. This is not transcribed. This is not recorded. Thank you. So this is bottom-up, yeah? I'm at the bottom at the moment. So. How do we bring at-large structure input? Now, this is a thing, because when you have so many different voices around the world, sometimes conflicting voices, it's very difficult to make sure that everyone gets heard. So the way that we do this is by a process which I can't say it's simplified. It's a bit complicated. But in general, it starts with an at-large structure or several at-large structures that have a point of view. They would discuss this within their regional at-large organization. And if there is consensus found at RALO level, the regional at-large organization, would then indulge in discussion with other RALOs. Each time there is the opportunity to bring in more comments into it. That goes to the next level, and then from the RALOs, it goes over to the ALAC, and again, there is the opportunity to comment. Now, by that time, there might have already been a first draft of a statement put together, so everyone can work on the same document. We use wikis, because that's probably the easiest way. Using mailing lists, we use mailing lists as well for discussion. The problem with using mailing lists is that you end up with a mailbox that's full of emails, and you can't really track what's going on. With wikis, you can actually see how the process evolved. So in general, the main part will talk about something, we'll have the statement, and then there will be comments underneath. I'm very worried when Heidi arrives like this. So others will comment and bring their input into the process. And so we end up here with the ALAC discussing, so the whole committee, the 15-member committee, discussing the statements. And then the ALAC would issue the official final draft and would then have to vote on it. Because although the work to reach the level of having a statement that is ready is by consensus, there might still be some at-large advisory committee members that don't agree with the statement or that might have not have had time to look at it in detail, and therefore the ratification vote basically makes sure that there is really support on the ALAC and support in the community. And once that... I think I'm reaching the end of your battery, Izumi. I'm really sorry. I played too much with this. Then the statement is released. In response to a public comment request, it's a slightly shorter process. We only have 21 days in the initial comment period, or 21 days is the minimum that is allowed in the system, the public comment process. And unfortunately, way too many parts of the community, when they ask and issue a public comment request, use that minimum time, because you might have noticed everything is rushed at ICANN. So, you know, everything has to be done by yesterday. And it's like, oh, let's give them a lot of time. How much do you know? Oh, 21 days. Let's do 21 days. I mean, for the people asking the question, 21 days is too much. For the people who have to answer the question, 21 days is not enough, especially when you have to collect the input from the whole world. We try and go as fast as we are, and those colleagues of mine who are in at-large know, and especially in the RALOs, in the regional at-large organizations, when they operate in other languages. We have, for example, in LAC RALO, they operate both in English and in Spanish. Then not only do you have to understand when you receive this, the original public comment request, then it has to be translated. Then it has to be discussed sometimes in Spanish and then translated back. I mean, it's really running after the clock all the time. But here we have a process back. I know you want to get me out of here, but then here we just have a process with the ICANN issues the public comment request, the ALAC discusses it, the RALOs discuss it, and then we can see the process here. There's a first draft. There is a question whether there's consensus. Sometimes there's a second or a third draft, depending on all of the input that comes in from the RALOs and from the different people involved in at large. And then again, we have the ALAC issuing a statement and voting on it in order to send it out. Next page, and that's the last page, three really important links. The first one is the at-large correspondence page. That has a list of all of the statements that the ALAC has released in the past couple of years. So you will see the range of statements that we send out. So you'll be able to see that. The next one is the at-large policy development. That's like going on the other side, going into the kitchen of a restaurant and finding out how we actually build those statements. It's a page that we all use in our community because it's got all of the current statements that we are working on and some of the past or many of the past statements as well, including some that did not end up as statements. And it's interesting because you would see, oh, no statement, but there was some discussion that took place and then no consensus was found. And the third one is the at-large working groups. Because there's so much going on at ICANN, if we just all worked on absolutely everything, none of us would get any sleep. So we had to divide some of our work into different working groups so that people that are interested in who is issues, I'm not going to explain who is. That's a 13-year process. I don't know how many. We have a few minutes left. Yeah. Who is issues on one side or the new GTLD, the new generic names coming out on the other side. There's so many different subjects we need to comment about. You can join a working group and just work on that working group and bring your input to that working group. And that working group will be an integral part of drafting statements that are related to the subject which the working group is working on. And I think that's the last one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olivier, very much. That was very thorough, well run through. My apologies to the wonderful people in the back. You did a great job.
Notice, I've done so badly, they've taken my badge away.
Yes, you've been stripped. So we are out of time for Olivier because I do want to make sure that Tony Harris, who is here from the Internet Service Provider, has an opportunity to speak to you and that we get you out in time for the 9 o'clock welcome ceremony. So Olivier, if there are any questions for you, they can either send them to me and I will forward them to you or staff at ICANN.org, which is here. Every one of you will get this presentation. So don't worry about the information. It'll be there. I'll have it in your email boxes today. Okay?
Thank you, Janice. Just 30 seconds. I've got a pile of brochures here, Beginner's Guide to Participating in At-Large. Very helpful for anybody who is interested in participating. It's got the full explanation of what I've just told you about. And I've also got, I think you must have the AP RALO, the Asia-Pacific, Pacific Island, Australasia Regional At-Large Organization brochure. And we are also meeting in this room on Tuesday, which is the constituency day. So the whole day we are going to be in here and you can see how we do our policy development and the different discussions that we'll have. All day we're going to be here. Of course, come here, ask questions during the breaks and so on. I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olivier. And center stage would be perfect, Tony. And Olivier, I feel for you because Heidi was just doing sign language to me and I didn't know what she was saying either. That was very hard.
It's Chinese sign language.
it's very covert. So I know this is a long morning in the sense that there is a lot of information being passed. So I really appreciate the fact that everyone is really focused. I didn't give my morning Mama J speech of the laptop should be down and everyone should be focused on the speakers, which is kind of a room rule, not just a fellowship rule, because I think it is that important that these speakers take the time to come to share their information with us. So I think we should put our laptops and our electronics away and focus on the presentation. It is being recorded and it will be transcribed, so every little precious piece of information that you think you're typing, you will be able to find easily, and emails home can wait until lunch. So that little side note, we'd like to welcome Tony Harris from the Internet Service Provider constituency, which is part of the GNSO, the Generic Name Supporting Organization. Tony?
Yes, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Those of you that are coming for the first time, anyhow, welcome to the ICANN world. Well, this is a hard act to follow. I mean, I didn't bring a PowerPoint. I was told I didn't need one. And certainly an impressive performance by my predecessor here on the microphone. Basically, what we would like to tell you about our constituency is we've been on aboard the ICANN since the days before ICANN was formed, in the days of the International Forum on the White Paper, which is back in 1998. And basically, our constituency is made up of internet service providers, connectivity providers. The difference would be connectivity providers would be like what you would consider the big telcos, tier one providers. And internet service providers can be small and medium companies. They can be telephone cooperatives working in rural areas or wireless operators working outside of the big cities. And so basically, to be a member of our constituency, you must be involved in the business of connecting people to the internet in some fashion. So basically, we are at the heart of the internet. Everybody needs us. So depending on how good or how bad your service provider is, we're a blessing or a necessary evil to all of you. And we sit at the heart of operations. Within the ICANN, we have seen a lot of things developing. Some years back in 2004, we had a round of new generic top-level domains that came out. And before that, in the year 2000, we had the first generic top-level domains that consisted of more than three characters. All of you, of course, are familiar with .com, .net, and .org, which are three-letter top-level domains. But when we started getting things like .info or .coop, which went over three letters to the right of the dot, immediately we had problems in resolving these domains. Because there was something new, and immediately the finger was pointed at the ISPs as they said we were filtering these new domains. So in the year 2002-2003, members of our constituency undertook a study all over the world where we were operating to see what was happening, and we were able to fix the problem because basically what happened was you have these proprietary software platforms sitting on many systems which were not prepared to handle more than three-letter codes. So after some, I would say, some lengthy months and perhaps even years, that problem went away, and now with the new top-level domain program coming up, we don't anticipate there will be any such problem again. I just mentioned this because it's an example of why it's important that ISPs and connectivity providers be involved in everything that's going on with the domain name system. Right now, we are in a process of expansion. Our constituency is broadening its membership. We're incorporating the internet exchanges all over the world. And we have, let's say, a plan to broaden our outreach and participation efforts to get more and more small and medium internet service providers into the ICANN world. So there's not much more really we can tell you about our constituency, except the fact that we sit within the, the business side of ICANN, in the commercial stakeholder group. And I guess really, if anybody has any questions, this is probably a good time to, so you can get to the big inauguration. Yes.
Yeah, my name is Siva Subramanian. I'm from India. The connectivity providers and internet service providers are not bound in the ICANN process by an agreement as intense as a registrar accreditation agreement for registrars. But are there good practices voluntarily followed by the constituency members to cover areas that are not traditionally covered by ICANN? For example, implement DNSSEC in ISP cache servers, or follow certain good norms among yourselves with respect to filters. I'm talking about certain practices that are not necessarily bound by agreement, that does not need an agreement, but a will on the part of the members of the constituency to have to develop good practices. Are there such? Is there a system? And are there examples of such processes?
Well, it's a good question, a complicated one too. But basically what I can tell you is we do not do that within the context of ICANN. Naturally, everybody who's in this industry of connectivity does follow best practices. And as far as the question of filters and the other things you mentioned, that is really a decision of every company of the way they go about it. And let's say the national regulatory system in which they sit. Within the ICANN, our purview here is to follow the ICANN proceedings and policy processes, always taking into account that we need to preserve a stable and secure internet. DNSSEC is obviously being undertaken by all our sector, and within our respective countries, we do the best we can to make sure that this gets to all the providers who are in the business. But it's not always that easy and that quick, because you have a great dispersion of connectivity and internet service providers in big countries particularly. So just to get see if I can summarize a reply to your question, you're right, those things are very important, but they don't necessarily sit within the activities that we do in ICANN, within the ICANN context, nor are we asked to do it. But certainly I will mention that in our next meeting, because I think it's a very good suggestion. Thank you. Somebody over there.
Yes.
Thank you. Izumi is from Tokyo, one of the LSs. What are the pressing issues of your constituency in the context of ICANN? Specific to your ISP industry or your constituency?
Well, I think that's a good question, Izumi, and welcome to ICANN. I've seen you around somewhere before. back in 1998, anyhow. I would say possibly the biggest... But we had two or three very, very important focus points. One was the WCCIT meeting in Dubai, which was critical to our industry, of course, where the regulation of the internet was in the balance, as all of you know. When we got through that, we went back to focusing on new top-level domains, particularly the fact that the rollout of maybe 1,200 or 1,400 new top-level domains, including internationalized domain names, will require a big outreach effort on our part, which is something we have already undertaken, to make sure that within our respective operating, the countries where we do business and operate, we need everybody to be aware of this, because the moment you have problems, users, let's hope this doesn't happen, but let's say users have problems with a new top-level domain coming out and they want to use it and it doesn't resolve, the first person they're going to call is customer service at the internet service provider. So if the internet service provider does not know that these new domains exist or which ones have already been implemented, then we have a problem, because he can't solve something he doesn't know exists. So basically, the new top-level domain program places quite a strain and quite a challenge on our constituency, because we're the frontline people who will be dealing with any problems that emerge from any of these hundreds of new domains. So I would say, Izumi, that's probably right now the main focus of our concern. Not so much other things that are discussed in the commercial stakeholder group.
If I may to follow up, does it mean that you anticipate some operational problems at the ISP level with the introduction of the new GTLDs, technically and operationally?
No, certainly not. And I'm an applicant myself,
so I
would certainly not say that.
What are the anticipated issues then with the introduction of new GTLD in relation to the ISP business?
I think perhaps I wasn't clear when I said just now. Basically, what I'm saying is, if there is a problem, it could be that the user misspelled the domain when he tried to access a website or sent an email. But the basic thing is, we need, for everybody who provides internet service connectivity, whether he's a small business, a big telco, or whoever they are, to know about the new top-level domains that are coming into the root, when they become operational, and which they are. Because otherwise, if they get, let's not call it a complaint, if they get an inquiry from a user, they won't know what the user is talking about. So we have to create awareness, we have to do outreach, and that is one of our main points of focus right now.
Yes. I'm Walid Al-Sakaf, one of the fellows. I'd like to ask a question related to the nonprofit users' constituency in terms of how to ensure that you are in touch with each other when it comes to common interests. For example, trust of users is crucial for ISPs business, right? And one of the main areas that's of concern is perhaps the issues of transparency and surveillance and privacy and issues of this nature. And in fact, you mentioned the buzzword filtering as well, because I personally study this area and understand that there are many controversies around it. So how are these meetings in terms of the level of transparency and accountability when it comes to discussing very crucial and complex issues such as filtering and surveillance and privacy issues?
Well, that's an interesting question. We have not discussed filtering with a non-for-profit user's constituency, and I don't think that would probably happen within the context of ICANN, because basically, unless there is no, you know, there's some situation, national situation, which is inevitable, ISPs and connectivity providers do not engage in filtering practices. And as far as, are we in contact with the not-for-profit users' constituency about transparency and user trust? Well, obviously, this is important to everybody. And as far as privacy is concerned, we have had a lot of discussions about, perhaps in ICANN, the main point of focus for privacy would be the WHOIS system on domains, which we have had. I was co-chair back in 2001. Yes, I know it's a long time. For about 5 years, we had a working group going on how to resolve the question of accuracy on the one hand on WHOIS data, and the counterbalance, which was the demand for privacy from the not-for-profit users' constituency, who have always defended the fact that users who register a domain name should be entitled to privacy. So, to be honest, we never quite agreed on that, because most of us in the business stakeholder group feel that accuracy is quite important. When you have somebody who's a bad actor and needs to be traced, going into a WHOIS and, you know, seeing data which is completely false. I mean, the guy's name is, Napoleon Bonaparte, and he lives in the planet Saturn. Anybody who registers a .com online could enter that data, and if his credit card clears, he's got his domain name, even if he says his name is Bonaparte and he lives in Saturn. So we tried to find ways to fix this. But that's still an ongoing discussion in ICANN after, what is it now, 12 years or 13 years. I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, good morning, Leon, again, from Mexico. And I assume that ISP's circle is a really close circle. I mean, it's a very small circle in the world. The same ISPs that contribute to the constituency are the same ones that sit at the WICKED or the ITU conferences or other international organization meetings. So how do you manage to interact within international organizations? For example, what is your stance in front of net neutrality from an ITU point of view and from an ICANN point of view? Where does all those works and meetings match single strategy as for ISPs have to do?
Well, this is an interesting meeting. I didn't know we would be cross-examined like this. Can I have my lawyer by me?
We actually have one or two in the room.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. I may need you. To be quite honest, we don't have agreement on that. Because in our constituency, we have... Let's take my case. I represent the Argentina Internet Association, which is mostly small and medium enterprises. And in our country, frankly, we are at war with the telcos. Literally, we are at war with the telcos. Yet in the ISPCP constituency, I sit with several very, very large telcos who are great friends of mine, and we get on fine. But there is no discussion about net neutrality within the ICANN. And basically, I don't think that's likely to come up as an issue within the context of what's normally discussed and developed as policy within the ICANN. But it is a good question, and we'd be happy to talk to you off mic.
Thank you very much. I'm a lawyer, by the way.
Good. Congratulations. Yeah. Somebody with...
All right. Good morning. My name is Nicolas. I'm from Paraguay. And I was just wondering why my country is not here. It's a list of member of country code top level domains. As of 1st August 2012, Paraguay is not here. There's Poland, Puerto Rico, Portugal, Palestinian territory, Palau, Panama, Peru. Somebody forgot to include it here, or there's some reason why it's not included? Thank you.
I don't think it's my fault. but I think you have an excellent point. I would feel insulted if I were you. And if there is somebody from ICANN in the room, you might want to pay attention to that. But
we'll get right on
good,
that.
It's a good point, and as I say, you are quite right in feeling offended.
Your response was just what we needed this morning. Thanks, Tony. I am going to go ahead and wrap up and get Tony off the hot seat. But honestly, this is exactly, Tony, the kind of discussion we want and why I say that you don't need a PowerPoint. Olivier likes to be able to have his PowerPoint, but most of us come here without, just to really be open and discuss. And that's exactly what you did. And the questions get more and more direct and complex as this fellowship grows in its experience. And so we're getting just some amazing individuals now from around the world who have real business to take care of here. And so I think it's great that you're getting grilled just a little bit, and I know you can handle it. If anyone has any other questions for Tony about the Internet Service Provider constituency, please put them in through me. And I will make sure that they get to Tony. Secondly, tomorrow, Constituency Day, if this has piqued your interest, please join the Internet Service Providers meeting, and you can learn more. Now you know a face to attach, and Tony would be more than happy to welcome any of you in and give you any tips along the way.
Yes, certainly. You'll be most welcome, and bring your questions about net neutrality and filters, and we'll throw you out of the room. That's...
We are at the end of this particular session. Hold on just one moment. Thanks, Tony. I just want to remind that 9 o'clock is the welcome ceremony. We're going to get everyone there. We have a couple of conflicts at 5, and conflicts are good or bad. We have the opening for the alumni chat from 5:30 to 6:30. So any of the new folks or alumni who would like to come and talk amongst themselves, it's open to our Net Mission Ambassador friends as well. Let me forward that information to you. We've set aside a separate room in the afternoon to kind of download from the day if you would like some advice or anything from the alumni. But I know that there's also the DNSSEC for beginners. And I will be at that while the alumni are handling the other. And there's also an internet governance session as well. So it is a lot. So you need to make your choice, and any one of them is good. Leaving and not doing any one of them is not good. So pick one of those to be at. And then the App Brelo Showcase is this evening at 7 o'clock. Heidi, that's just not working, that sign language. Just jump on a microphone and share it with us.
So thank you. My name is Heidi. I work with Olivier. I'm lucky enough to work with Olivier Crepin-Lamblant, who you saw earlier today. So just two things from at large. We have a whole series of meetings today, but two key ones would be this afternoon starting at 1700, we have the AP RALO Roundtable. There will be two sessions, one on IDNs in the AP RALO region and one on new GTLDs. The second one is the AP RALO Showcase and Reception. That begins in this room at 1900 to 2100. Again, there'll be a short series of speeches in this room, and then immediately outside there'll be a display of over 30 AP RALO at-large structures, as well as cocktails and food.
You would have had us right there, bottoms up at cocktails. We'll be there. So I would like to just have the fellows stay in the room for just a minute. Everyone else, I know you're going to head over to the welcome ceremony. So thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.